Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Again, I think that's reflective of what's going on in classrooms all across the nation, right? These aren't one-off exceptionals, right? We're hearing about it, we're hearing trickles of it in the media. That's just the tip of the iceberg. This is happening all across the nation because these are the way our teachers often talk to our students, and parents just don't know enough about it, and it needs to be exposed. And it will be if we get more brave students like Josh who come forward and say, yeah, this is what the teachers have been saying to me.
Michael Thiessen here, and today I'm having an open conversation with a friend of mine and actually a dear coworker, James Kitchen. Buddy, I'm thankful for you and all of your work that you're doing with Liberty Coalition Canada. How are you?
Good.
Fantastic. James has had a long day in hearings, and he's taking time to now just jump out of court and come to speak with you. Before James and I get started, I want to thank everybody for watching the shows of our staff, commenting and sharing around. I'm still asking each one of you to send an episode or each episode to 10 friends over text. If you can just keep sending out our episodes, you keep sharing directly, we really want to keep growing our message. Maybe you could tick 10 people off and send episode after episode to the same 10 people. I'm fine with that, but let's just try to get that sent out. So, of course, this show is produced in partnership with ChristianWeek.org. You need to go over there and check out that great news site. That's ChristianWeek.org. And I love the Red Balloon ads at the beginning of our shows. Make sure you visit that website if you're looking for a job, or if as an employer, you're looking for employees who you want to have people to have their thoughts protected and their beliefs protected, not just going along with the woke agenda. And finally, I also want to continue to tell you about our friends over at RockLink Investment Services. You've heard me say it many times, but they are concerned about the same issues that we are. They're willing to have open and honest conversations with you to put you on the right track to achieve your goals while mitigating many of the risks surrounding us. And so you ask yourself, are you getting that level of service and alignment with your current financial institute? Will they show you that service, or will they just show you the door if you're asking those types of questions? So again, email rocklink at info@rocklink.com. or visit them at www.rocklink.com. That is link with a C. I've never asked them about that, but it's a thing. So link with a C. Okay, James, we made a big presser this week. And for those of you who don't know what a presser is, that's just a really cool way of saying press release. And you and I have the privilege of sitting down with you after we make some of these big announcements and hearing firsthand what's going on with these legal cases. So I know that you and I want to walk through the particulars of this application that you've just submitted. Our media release for everybody is that Josh Alexander files Ontario human rights complaint after being kicked out of school for expressing biblical beliefs at a Catholic school. And James has come on today to walk us through the particulars of that application. And before I give you the baton, James, just want to tell everybody You can find this document for yourselves under libertycoalitioncanada.com under our under Josh's case, and it's just in the right-hand section, and you can click. It's the first file there, and it, it talks about the application particulars. So if you want to follow along while you're listening, or if you want to share this and use this, you know, I first got involved in watching these things when I watched the Vaccine Choice Canada particulars of their case, and it was immensely helpful to actually have the document in front of me. So that's what we've done, James. We've supplied it for everybody. Now walk us through. What do you got to say?
Well, we spent a lot of time working on this complaint. There's a lot of interesting stuff in here. People are probably familiar with the, you know, general events of what happened. Josh caused a stir in November of 2022 because he actually expressed his honestly held Christian beliefs about gender, which of course you can't really do these days without getting called names or kicked out or canceled or what have you. You know, it's not tolerated. And then, of course, we know that the principal got involved and, you know, ultimately suspended Josh and then wouldn't let him come back to school physically, you know, disciplined him, didn't discipline him, but just said he can't come anyways. All these things happened that prevented him from coming to school. Ultimately, he came to school once and then was given a trespass notice, came to school again, again exercising his right. He was arrested. We know all that, but there's a lot of things the public doesn't know about what happened. And now I'm not going to read to you everything that's in here. I want you to go read it. But first, I'm going to touch on just a little bit about what happened with the teachers. Okay. Now, some of you are probably aware there's some pretty immature, irresponsible teachers in our school systems. They really act quite juvenile. I hear about these stories a lot, maybe more than some people, about the things that they do and say to students when it comes to, especially the woke stuff, right? The race stuff and the gender stuff. You know, I think there was a school board trustee that just said something about, in Ontario, that just said something about how white Christian males are the most dangerous thing. I mean, it's a school board trustee. I mean, you expect a 14-year-old teenager to say that on Twitter, not a school board trustee.
I believe there was teachers, an advisor to the school board in Ontario that just said that. No. Different story. So I'm not correcting you.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was an advisor. The guys are going to cover this in Liberty Dispatch. An advisor to a school board that just said Jesus was a drag queen.
I saw that. Yeah, I know.
This is at our advisory level of our school boards. Okay, go for it.
Okay, so true to fashion, we have a female teacher. She's named in the complaint as a respondent. We've named her as a respondent. We haven't just named the school board. We've named the two teachers and Principal Derek Lennox, who we think participated in the discrimination against Josh. So this female teacher was teaching the law class, interestingly enough. And so she said something along the lines that to Josh, that the only reason he holds his particular beliefs about gender, that there's only two, that you can't switch, that people with penises shouldn't be in the girls' private spaces. She suggested to the class that the only reason Josh holds those views is because he cannot personally control his own hormones. I want people to stop and think about that for a second. Okay? Why is that acceptable? Right? If we had a male teacher saying that a female student, the reason she held these beliefs was because she can't control her own hormones, insinuating that she's some sort of, you know, loose woman, or use whatever derogatory term you want to use. Can you imagine? He'd be fired instantly, right? So why the double standard? Why is this tolerated? Why is it okay for some female teacher to say that a young man who expresses biblical beliefs, it's because he can't control his own hormones?
It's also a lie on its face. Like it's a double standard, but it is also a lie on his face. Like,
yeah, obviously.
Josh holds these beliefs because Josh holds these beliefs. He's been taught them. He's rigorously looked at them. By faith, he accepts them. They are his faith beliefs.
Yeah, it's a refusal to accept that somebody could just hold beliefs that maybe you don't like as a woke person. Honestly, because they really truly believe this, not because they're some hateful bigot or because they like attention or because they like to be mean to people, but because they actually believe in something bigger than themselves. They actually believe in a God that created things in a particular way, right? So, you know, there's all these comments from this teacher. And then she actually sends a female student to get, Josh asks if he could go to the washroom, check out the gender neutral washrooms and all this. So Josh goes to the washrooms, and the teacher, after he leaves, makes some more comments, that are insulting to Josh, but actually sends a female student to follow Josh, to follow him into the bathroom, to make him uncomfortable. Right. I mean, is this a teacher or is this a fellow junior high student, right? This type of behavior. But again, this is not unusual behavior on the behalf of teachers these days. So that happens in law class in the morning. Later that same day, and so there's this big debate, of course, in class, right? People are really upset because Josh is given his beliefs, right? And this is in October, so this is sort of when this all started, right? Before everybody knew what was going on. So Josh then goes to the math class in the afternoon, and the discussion continues, okay? And there's a discussion about male breastfeeding, and Josh suggests, well, you know, I mean, how is that different than pedophilia? It's not okay. And, you know, again, he's reiterating his beliefs about how, look, you can't switch your genders. A man is a man, whether he thinks he's a woman or not. He says something along the lines of, look, guys have penises and girls have vaginas. Well, of course, when you get that explicit, again, that gets people really upset. And that's actually why I specifically say that. Go ahead.
I also just want to jump in. Like, this is even what Hollywood would have said 10 years ago. Like, guys have penises, girls have vaginas. I believe that was the punchline joke of Kindergarten Cop when Arnold Schwarzenegger has to go back to school as an undercover cop and teach kindergarten class, and like kindergarten class basic 101 taught by child is boys have penises, girls have vaginas. Like, that was a punchline in the 80s and the 90s. So again, Josh has all truth on his side here. That is a biological fact. You know that I just made comments for Fox News where I cited a number of laws. You actually gave me Idaho wrote another law where we have in the United States lawmakers writing into law that definition based upon chromosomes and identified at birth based upon their genitalia. So this is all fact that Josh is stating.
Yep. Yep.
In math class, well, by the way, in math class.
So predictably, he says these things. And so the students start yelling at him, calling him a misogynist, a racist. I'm quite sure how that works, but misogynist, racist, and a homophobic transphobe. Well, of course. Right. Yeah, okay, that's predictable. That's what students are going to do. I guess it's a little more predictable in a public school than a Catholic school, but that's predictable. The issue is what happened next, because the math teacher, he nods and gestures his approval of the students doing this to Josh, right? He doesn't shut it down. He doesn't admonish the students. He doesn't say, look, everybody's entitled to their opinions. He encourages it, okay? Again, you know, sort of acting as if he's more of a peer of the students, right, than he is a teacher. Same thing with the first teacher, right? So this goes on, and you know, then there's a kind of a heated discussion between the math teacher and Josh, and you know, the math teacher says the common refrain, you know, times have changed, you need to move on, as if that's an argument, and. You know, there's sort of this showdown between Josh and the teacher, and Josh says, well, you know, look, I mean, maybe you're having a hard time teaching math if you know, you can't figure out that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. There's only two genders, right? Two plus two is four. And again, you know, I mean, I guess math has now become racist or something. So it's this whole attack on objective truth, right? I mean, something is, I mean, the math teacher's perspective is, well, the reason this is right is because times have changed, not because it's right. We're accurate, it's because times have changed. So anyways, again, I encourage people to go read that. There's some really interesting facts in there about those interactions with his teachers. And again, I think that's reflective of what's going on in classrooms all across the nation, right? These aren't one-off exceptionals. right? We're hearing about it. We're hearing trickles of it in the media. That's just the tip of the iceberg. This is happening all across the nation because these are the way our teachers often talk to our students, and parents just don't know enough about it, and it needs to be exposed. And it will be if we get more brave students like Josh who come forward and say, yeah, this is what the teachers have been saying to me, right? You know, we all know about that the shop teacher in Ontario too, who wears the huge prosthetic breasts, right? I mean, this is the level of what our teachers are at.
Well, and just so you know, like Rebel News just dropped a story, yes, like 3 or 4 days ago now, when we dropped this podcast, it'll be almost a week old, where they went and found that guy out at the Burlington Mall shopping normally, except he still had, of course, had a face mask, because now he has to have a face mask when he's not in his outfit. So like just shopping like a dude, you know, wouldn't even return to his car, got an Uber because he knew that Rebel News was waiting at his car with him dressed normally. So again, and James, like, come on, let's also just, I don't want to interrupt too much, so just tell me to shut up if I'm interrupting too much. But come on, does Mr. Skelhorn really believe that men can breastfeed women? Like, if you sat him down in a room by himself and said, "Come on, dude, try to breastfeed now. Come on, let's see how this goes for you." You know this is because it's the popular. It is the union, you know, it is like just go along to get along. You know, none of these university educated teachers actually believe this. It's a little white lie that they keep telling in order to be the cool teacher and to keep their job. That's, you can test these things. We can catch these people and test them later. And we will be able to.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's where we're going next with Principal Lennox. I do have to give the lawyer a caveat. Okay, I know it's obvious and it should be obvious, but these are allegations made by Josh. None of these have been proven in court, right? Josh is an honest guy. Okay. He's honestly made these allegations because this is his memory of what was said and what happened. So he's alleging that these people said and did these things. They've not been proven by the tribunal. Okay, so can I say that they are court-proven facts? No, they're allegations. Do I believe they're true? Yes, I believe my client because I believe he's, you know, honest and accurate. Just FYI.
Right.
Unproven allegations. Okay? So what else did Josh allege in the complaint particulars? Well, interestingly, to go to your point, there are many conversations with Principal Lennox. Now, Josh just so happened to audio record the very first conversation he had with Lennox, which, just to remind everybody, we're all familiar with this now because of Lindsay Shepherd. Sorry, it's been so long, I forgot about her name. Good old Lindsay Shepherd taught Canada how, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's certainly not illegal to record these conversations, and it's actually a good thing because it brings accountability and exposes all the crazy, woke, awful stuff that goes on with students, whether it's high school or university. Josh recorded this, which he's permitted to do, okay? And because he has this recording, so, you know, my associate lawyer is helping me. We've listened to them. We've made a transcript of them. We're sure of what he said. We're not just going off on memory. So we have this fascinating conversation between Josh and the principal, where the principal is towards the end of the conversation, he says, "I've been trying to give you hints here, and you're not picking up what I'm putting down." And a big part of the conversation focused on Derek Lennox's personal opinion and his professional opinion, right? And he said, "I'm not going to give you my personal opinion, but my professional opinion from the principal's office is that those people that you say are boys going into the girls' washroom are actually girls because they identify as girls," right? Which, you know, I mean, it's not like Josh started out by accusing him that he holds two different views or that he secretly, you know, is actually a Catholic. This is just part of the conversation. And this is where Lennox took the conversation, right? And, you know, and that's where Lennox was annoyed with Josh by the end of the conversation, because Josh, unlike, you know, the typical cowardly adult, Josh wasn't taking the hint, right? "Look, Josh, this is about putting your head down and saying what's acceptable and keeping your beliefs private, just kind of like I do, you know?" And
wow. Tell me which page and point you're reading from right now, because I'm trying to catch up with you. but that is profound.
Now, yeah, no, I think it is. I think it is. So this starts at the bottom of page 3 in the particular. Josh's October 20th meeting with Principal Lynn.
Yep, I'm on page 4 in section 19 where it said, I've tried to give you a few hints a number of times.
Yeah, so Principal Lennox says, I'll never give you my personal opinion. I'm going to give you my professional response. Females don't have, Josh said, females don't have penises. Principal Lennox said, fair enough. And then he stated, as far as I'm concerned, from this office, they're female. I don't think you're very good at reading between the lines. I'm not telling you because I told you I would not give you my opinion. I've tried a few times to hint towards a few different things and you haven't picked up on it. Right. And you know, I mean, it's classic, right? I mean, you have an adult who's learned how to survive in a world where if he was actually honest, then he may suffer some consequences for doing so. And you have an innocent, honest child. I mean, he's 17, so he's a young man, but you know, he's still new to the world in the sense that he hasn't been corrupted yet. And, you know, so I think it is, this is a classic example, a microcosm of what's going on in the wider society, right? Why, and I always go back to this, why are the lawyers all putting pronouns in the bottom of their emails, right? Well, sure, do some of them believe it? Maybe. Like you said, most of them don't. It's about clients. It's about the law society. It's about society thinking well of them, right? It's they figured out as an adult how to maneuver through this, you know, this corrupt society. And part of it is to be a little bit corrupt and disingenuous themselves, right? It's the same thing here with Josh, right? It's same with all the students across the country don't believe in this nonsense, but put up with it quietly because they know if I speak out, I'll get kicked out of school.
Actually,
you know what? You think I'm crazy? Look what happened to Josh.
And that's, James, I want to read section 20 on page 4 because this is exactly where I was going to go after you read that paragraph above. This listen to this. Several times throughout the conversation, Josh explained that the girls were nevertheless uncomfortable with males entering the girls' washroom. Principal Lennox said, you can encourage those ladies to come speak with myself or Mrs. Shreenan. Josh said, I already have. They are uncomfortable doing so. They asked me to do it. Principal Lennox replied, then I don't respond to crusades. So just listen, everybody. So we're doing this to stand up for young women. We're doing this to stand up for young men. We're doing this to stand up for the next generation. And listen, individuals, what you just read. So in the paragraph above, the principal's like, hey, dude, they're girls. And you're not reading through the lines. I'm not giving you my personal opinion. I'm giving you my professional opinion. And you got to read through the lines, live in between the lines, just go along to get along. And then Josh says, well, I'm representing the females, but they can come talk to me. And he says, well, they're not comfortable. Why do you think the girls might not be comfortable coming to talk to you, Mr. Lennox, Principal Lennox? It might be because you're going to ignore them and tell them, girls, look, we all know that they have penises and that's they're boys and that makes you feel super uncomfortable, but it's not a public thing to say. So what should you do, young women? You should be quiet and be uncomfortable. And again, this isn't, you know, so we have feminism crying out male oppression. And the reality of it, this is a perverted way for young men to oppress young women. You can't even have your private spaces. We're so deranged, we have to come in the bathroom with you. And of course, you and I know we have documented cases of boys going in there pretending to be girls and raping girls in these bathrooms. And this principal, when Josh says, well, they're not comfortable, and it would make perfect sense that they're not based upon what the principal just said, he's like, well, then I don't give into crusades. Also, so you won't listen to a young man representing a young woman. You know,
yeah.
It's just school politics and these. I'm so glad that we've submitted this application. Keep going, James. Keep walking us through the particulars.
So that's a lot of the background stuff leading up to the public events that people don't really know about. Right. And I mean, obviously, we've included the events of what happened with, you know, Josh organizing the walkout, the school makes the threat of taking away the ability for students to get home. That's pretty transparent what that is, right? I mean, that's the school is acting like our federal government does. Man, if you're going to protest, we're going to crush you, right? We're going to say to our blue in the face that we recognize your right to protest and free speech, and we're going to turn around and do exact opposite. And we're going to think you're stupid enough to believe us, right? So, you know, Josh organizes the walkout. Hardly anybody shows up. They're all scared of missing their bus ride home because the school has said, you show up to this protest, no bus ride home. If it was a BLM protest, would that have happened? Give me a break.
The principal, right? Would have been
absolutely not.
The principal. Yeah. Now, again, we are talking about the particulars of a real allegation, so I need to be careful. I don't know if they would have been out there. So we'll just leave that out there. But what they did was...
I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah.
When I started my career as a lawyer, I didn't like to point out hypothetical double standards. But, I mean, it's all I've seen for the last 6-7 years. I have... And again, I'm just asking the question because it has to be asked. Right? Our society is built on double standards because it's not built on freedom. And if it's not built on freedom, you won't have equality. And if you don't have equality, you have double standards, right? Some animals are more free than others. That's just inevitable. The less free you are, the less equal you'll be, right? The pigs will run the farm and the horses will get turned into glue. That's just how society goes. So I have to ask the question because that's where our society's at, right? And I think it matters. I mean, I was actually surprised in late 2020, the number of people that came to me and said, you were right. You're not a conspiracy theorist. We know that this is all wrong about COVID. And the thing that actually made it click for us finally was that we saw the double standard with the way BLM was treated. And we realized that this wasn't about COVID. This was about government control and all the rest of it. Right. And so, I mean, I think differently than most people. None of this stuff makes any sense to me. I immediately see what it is. But some people actually need to be reminded. They will only see the double standard when it's actually pointed out to them. So I'm pointing it out.
So I need to share this file with people in defense of Josh so that if they're slow to understand, if they're those folks, you know, I met an Ontario couple here in Kentucky, just getting gas at the gas station. And this guy asked me how to get back on the highway. And I said, hey, are you from Ontario? I noticed you have Ontario plates. He said, yeah. I said, oh, well, I'm from Ontario. We just moved down here. We're down here while my son's in school. And he said, well, what brings you to Kentucky? I said, well, Justin Trudeau helped convince me to move most recently. You should have seen him run from me from that point forward. It was like he was a teacher at a school that in the town that I grew up in. We were friendly as could be. And the moment I said, well, Mr. Trudeau helped convince me to leave Canada, he couldn't run away faster. And so there are people, teachers in unions like these teachers, who need to read for yourself. And then there are the other teachers, there are actually Christian teachers who are still in this system, still remaining silent and complicit and not understanding the depths of the depravity that's going on here. And they've got to read this manuscript so they wake up and understand and start lending their voice to restoring some sense of morality in the school. Okay, I'm talking too much, James. Get to it, buddy.
Okay, so then we go through the events and the particulars that most people probably know about, right? There's the suspensions, there's the exclusions, there's the trespass notice, etc., right? And obviously, eventually, he is kicked out for the whole rest of the school year. He's excluded, which is a legal term that comes from the legislation, that the Education Act, right? That provision is in there for principals to be able to say to students, well, actually, it's not for students, it's for anybody. It's a principal to be able to say to somebody, you can't be in the school because you're unsafe. The interesting thing about this case, and I don't know if there's a precedent for this, I'd be surprised if there was. So this provision, which isn't necessarily designed for students but can be applied to students, what the principal has said, he said it through his lawyers because by now the lawyers are involved. He said, Josh can't be in the school because he is such a threat that he will disturb the mental well-being of the students. But the school... and the school board lawyers have gone to some pain to communicate that this is non-disciplinary, right? So they're trying to keep these two things in tension, where Josh is such a threat that he can't be in school because he's going to disrupt the mental well-being of the students, and yet he hasn't done enough to justify discipline. Well, I mean, those two things are obviously irreconcilable, right? But the whole idea here is, well, you know, we don't really care about the law. We don't care about Josh. We don't care about logic. We just don't want him in the school because if he's here, he's going to cause trouble. And we have to do everything we can to make sure we appear as fully compliant with all of the woke demands regarding transgenderism and the transgender people themselves. Whatever they want, we're going to give them. And if that means doing this to Josh and, you know, attacking the English language, we don't care. We will do it because that's the way this works now. The transgender people and their cause get whatever they want and everything else is sacrificed. And that's what we see with this, because this doesn't even make any sense to just kick Josh out of school and then say that he's somehow a threat, but then it's not even disciplinary. It's just simply, you can't be here. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, in any other scenario with telling somebody they just can't come to school for the entire school year because they've expressed a religious belief that some other group doesn't like?
Like, I know you and I don't know how, like, so first of all, if Josh, if you listen to this podcast with James and I, of course, we're laughing with you, because number one, it's absurd on its head that for the sake of two students, Josh can't be there to protect their mental health, but, you know, to hell with Josh's mental health, to hell with his education. And then number two, let's just again review the details. Two male students pretending to be females. You can't deal with a perversion or an insanity the way you can deal with sane people. There's no fact on their side, but you guys pretending to be girls can't be girls. They can't do anything a woman can do, and they can't be in essence a female. And so, of course, any type of truth is going to trample on their sensitivities and their perversions. And you and I both have big hearts. You and I, James, would sit down with either one of these boys and say, guys, let's talk about why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Let's talk about who told you that you could do this. Oh, who's your major influencer that's really pushing you towards this? What heartbreak has befallen you? But at the end of the day, you're responsible to acknowledge the real world. And like, this is just going to be a lesson, James. Like it's a lesson of you can't please everyone. And so in this case, Josh has legitimate religious beliefs that are backed up with creational evidence, that are backed up with every scientific fact that in the United States, just over the border, lawmakers are enshrining in law Josh's statements, and he's being kicked out because two guys pretending to be girls might get a wee bit upset, but to hell with Josh and let Josh be upset. The whole conversation is absurd on its face, but let's go to Josh's beliefs, James, because I know that you want to get to this, and folks, this has been a broader conversation going on within Christianity, and there are a number of statements out there that Christians have made based upon scripture that are similar to the statements that James has gone over with Josh here and validated that these are his declared beliefs about God and the Bible. So James, why don't you walk us through that?
Sure. So, about pages 12 to 18 of the complaint, so about 6-7 pages, is dedicated to Josh's beliefs. So it's very, very extensive. It's very, very detailed. It's very thorough. That's done on purpose, right? Because I think the world, the school board, they're going to respond to this complaint. The Human Rights Tribunal itself, they deserve to hear Josh's full beliefs. And I think the world deserves to hear them. And I think Josh deserves to get to say them. So he establishes his foundational beliefs in here about truth, okay, because obviously that's relevant, about the nature of God, the nature of the Bible, you know, the fact that God made the world, he's good, he designed gender and sexuality on purpose to be what it is. because it's good. The Bible is inerrant, you know, so we can point to that as actual truth. God himself is truth. God himself is also love. So he puts these foundational beliefs, which, I mean, you know, now in our sort of post-Christian secular society, even these like basic things are really foreign to a lot of people. And I get that. They're foreign to judges and the Human Rights Tribunal as well, right? So we put all that in there to help people understand. And I mean, to anybody who may actually be reasonable, but has been told their whole life that these people are just ignorant, jerk bigots, this establishes the foundation that, look, Josh really isn't a jerk. He really believes this stuff, and here it is. And it might sound like it's ancient, but this is what he actually believes, okay? And then I know, it is. That's just it. It doesn't change. Truth doesn't change over time, right? God's nature doesn't change, etc. So then we get into the specific beliefs about, you know, what does the Bible say? What does actual biblical Christianity, because that's what he subscribes to, what does that actually say about gender and sexuality? And it, I mean, it says exactly what Josh has been saying. There's two genders, you can't switch. But of course, we need to actually dig in to all the scripture that supports that, right? So that's what we do, right? So we go to Genesis, we go to Psalms, we go to the Gospels, what Jesus says, to affirm the stuff from Genesis about, you know, this is not just, you know, we have these two genders, here's what they are, but also here's how they interact, right? And here's how it's wrong for one to try to switch into the other and how it's unhealthy for everybody, including the person that's doing it, the people around them. So there's a lot of details in there and stuff that people will recognize, but, oh yeah, but it's now actually articulated. And this is, I really want people to go and read this and not just read it, but if they agree with it, if this reflects their beliefs, but they've never been able to articulate it this way, take these beliefs, use these beliefs, adopt them as your own, okay? And give them to your teachers or principals or employers or whoever it is that's challenging you to prove that you actually believe this and you have a reason to, or to show that you're not just a complete bigot jerk. Take these beliefs, rely on them, use them. Part of the reason I'm sharing this document, there's an enormous amount of work that went into citing these beliefs and articulating them so that they're theologically and biblically accurate. Take them, use them, rely on them, share them, right? I want this to be, so far as people agree with it, to be a manifesto for Christians about this is what we believe about truth, God, the Bible, gender and sexuality, and how men shouldn't be allowed in women's spaces. This is it. I want people to go and use this.
And I just want to add to what you've said there, James, and persuade people with these truths. So again, you stated right here in, you know, section 65, Josh believes God has a right to speak because he's a creator and human beings are creatures. It's not just about defending your rights. It's about changing the space to return to truth. And there are truths that many different religions can agree upon. And then there are truths that not everyone can agree upon, but are truth nonetheless. And so I just want to read the section on human sexuality and gender beliefs, 64. The Bible informs and is directive about Josh's beliefs regarding human sexuality and gender. Josh believes human beings are created in the image of God. Quoting scripture, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. So God created man, man plural, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you have this distinction. Hey, man, mankind. And then, hey, what's mankind? Male and female, he created them. To bear God's image is to exist in a special relationship with God and to contribute to God's revelation on earth. And is to possess inherent God-given human dignity as beings intentionally created to bear the image of God. Humans are more than their anatomy, but not less. Bodies matter because bodies reflect the intention of the Creator, and he calls us as followers to honor him through our bodies. And he gives us text right there. Folks, that is truth. We are supposed to honor our bodies. We're not supposed to mutilate them. Nancy Piercy wrote a great book called Love Your Body. You're not against your body. These people who think that they're against their body are either perverted or they are suffering from some type of mental illness. They need to be corrected and taught to love their body. And that comes from scripture. And everybody says, oh, but Jesus came along. And he's like, just like John Lennon, peace, everybody. Jesus didn't say any of this. When Jesus was talking about how many wives you could have, either concurrently, meaning how many women you should sleep with all throughout your lifetime, or how many consecutively, how many women you should sleep with, or concurrently, like literally should guys and girls try to have multiple partners in a relationship, Jesus quoted this scripture to say that he made them male and female, and he made them to be one. So Christ, you know, James, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm about to record something, and Justin Trudeau wished everybody a happy Easter, and he said, my family is going to celebrate Easter, the most holy of the Christian holidays, about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's giving attestation to Christ. And he says, and it reminds us of the values that Christ taught. This is our prime minister taking the Lord's name in vain, just pretending to care. But if he did, then how is it that this same prime minister and the nation that follows him would then depart from Christ's words on such basic a principle as, so he created him, male and female, he created them.
Yep.
So the prime minister agreed with Josh. Apparently, he says we're supposed to hold on to Jesus' values, and yet Josh isn't allowed to say that in his high school classroom. Okay, sorry, folks. This is an attestation of the particulars. Justin Trudeau, for the record, does not agree with Josh. Just to clarify.
Very obvious. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that made me think as I was, you know, working on these beliefs with Josh is when we're trying to do this whole thing with taking our bodies and our genders and trying to unilaterally redefine them or change them or transmogrify from one end to the other. You know, what we're really doing is playing God. We are usurping God, right? We are saying we as the creatures are now the creators, and we are God, and we are God over the world, and God over truth, and God over logic, and God over our bodies, right? It's this really awful setting ourselves up against God or above God. And that's always destructive to humanity when we do that in history. And the transgender movement is very, very destructive to humanity, to human nature, to people's bodies, to people's lives, to relationships. It's a very, very destructive movement, as a lot of other movements that they abandoned not only Christianity and truth and scripture and all that, but they abandoned the very basic reality in the world that we are the creatures and we are confined to the way we were created. We may not like it, but we are. And if we try to change it, great evil results. And the only other thing that I think that really is relevant to point out to people about the beliefs is this whole thing that, you know, Josh, like the pastors who have been arrested recently, he believes that he must obey God over men, right? So Christianity is a little bit unique insofar as if you only hold it privately, well, you may actually have a problem of whether or not you truly believe it and are actually following Jesus, right? If you're actually following Jesus and you actually say you love him, because he says, if you love me, obey my commands, are you actually following him if you're always ever quiet about it and you're acting in a way that's contrary to your beliefs because it's that's convenient, right? And so we see in scripture, right? Those who are truly committed to God are always public about it. And when they run up against a civil authority that says to do something different, they don't. Book of Daniel is probably the best example, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, nope, we may burn in the fire, but nope, we bow to God alone. What does Daniel do? After all those decades of being important and serving the king and having a decent life in Babylon, what does he do? He goes home and prays. He knows he's going to get caught. He knows he's going to get thrown in the lion's den. He does it anyways. And same with Peter and the Sanhedrin. We obey God, not men. That's a big deal to Josh. And people, I think, get really upset with Christians because it's like, can't you just be quiet about your beliefs? I get you want to hold them. Fine. You want to believe them. Go believe them in your living room. We can't, right? If we're actually following Christ, we literally can't. We are compelled to be public about it. We are compelled to obey God over men. That's what Josh did. The motivation here was not to be famous or to be a jerk or to have fun. It was literally, this is how I love God. I love God by disobeying you. I cannot obey you if you what you're asking me to do is contrary to what God's asking me to do, right? I had to put that in there because that's a very relevant thing that I think is very difficult for people to understand and accept. But that's a part of Christianity. That's a part of his beliefs.
Well, and whenever we think of stories of heroes, like when we think of Daniel and him going back and praying with an open window, we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going and taking that stand. When we think of the midwives intervening between Pharaoh, when we think of William Wilberforce ending slavery, you always hear the other camp just say, don't rock the boat. Like William Wilberforce, one of the major arguments against him to not end slavery is, man, it will just disrupt the economy and so many people will suffer. So you can take any type of selfish ambition and you can twist it into a lie that makes people believe that you actually care. So that's what these teachers and this principal are doing. They've got selfish ambition, keep their job, keep their head down, don't share their personal opinion. But now we're going to twist it into it being Josh's problem. And the reality of it, in the book of Daniel, when you see that, it's literally the same type of story. Daniel's going and praying in front of the window, knowing full well that it's the selfish ambition of the other guys who are jealous of his position. So a ton of these people are actually jealous of Josh. They're jealous of Josh. I'm jealous of him. You know, I was on the phone with that young man yesterday giving him counsel, and I was sitting there going, he is courageous. He's courageous. And part of me could go, oh, he's more courageous than me. I gotta squash that down. Or I need to say, no, I need to encourage him and I need to pray for him and I need to give him wisdom as he goes and does these things. But so often people are just picking, no, let's just ignore what's going on. So I'm glad that you're bringing it up because Josh really believes these things and they're actually virtuous things to believe.
Yes,
this is a young man protecting women. Guys, listeners, you know of the stories in the U.S. that have already been prosecuted where boys are pretending to be girls and going into female bathrooms and raping them. You have swimmers. Who is that? James, who is that female swimmer who just spoke up against the men who are competing against her? And she was cornered in a classroom by trans activists for hours because she spoke up about it. You go ahead and speak for a little while. I'm gonna find her name because I
think that's Riley Keynes is maybe the name. I've seen this on the internet.
Yeah,
I can't keep up with all this stuff. I think I've seen it.
Yes, Riley Gaines.
Riley
Gaines. That's the name, and we want to honor Riley. So Riley, good for you.
So the last 12 pages of the complaint are dedicated to a legal argument. Now, obviously, if this does go to a hearing, we get to file a factum. So it'll be a whole great big long legal argument that'll be like 30 pages in and of itself with, you know, 50 cases cited. But this is just to give a taste. So the tact we decided to take in this legal argument is to mostly rely on what the Human Rights Commission in Ontario itself says. Okay? And I'm sure some astute listeners will immediately know why we decided we had to do that. Everybody sort of knows the commissions are pretty woke. Right. Pretty much every institution in Canada is quite ridiculously woke, right? And generally what we see from government institutions, often what increasingly what I see from the courts is again this sort of double standard, right? We uphold the rights of groups we like, and not so much the groups we don't like, right? We get freedom trucker people arrested and thrown in jail. We get pastors arrested and thrown in jail for not having committed any actual crimes. And then, you know, for whatever reason, we see a lot of actually violent criminals that are not held in jail. Why is that happening? Right? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we see the commission saying constantly all these things about, especially the LGBT community, some of the other groups in the oppression pyramid, right? Like, I guess people of color is a big phrase now. There's sort of this, you know, I mean, I saw a statement from the Alberta Human Rights Commission the other day denouncing, you know, all this terrible stuff to do with, you know, in Calgary with all the library stuff, the drag queen story hour library stuff, right? It didn't name Derek Reimer, but I mean, it seemed pretty obvious to me that it was trying to characterize Reimer and what other people were doing as somehow hateful and violent. And you know, it's this whole like, you know, we're not going to acknowledge your right to free speech because it opposes what we like. So the commission has a policy on faithism, it calls it, right? We've got all these isms. I don't necessarily subscribe to faithism, but it's really interesting, right? Because the commission lays out, this is what faithism looks like, right? You start segregating people. You start kicking them out of things. And you start saying to them, well, it's because you hold backwards beliefs and we can't tolerate you. We have this new modern, you know, secular tolerant society that you can't be a part of. And so we're just not going to let you be a part of it. And so the commission talks about how that's wrong. That's faithism. That's discrimination. And when you match up what the human rights policy says itself with what happened to Josh, well, they line right up. These are exactly the types of scenarios that happened to Josh that this policy of faithism is saying this can't happen. This shouldn't happen. If it does, it's contrary to the code. It's contrary to the protection for. In Ontario, it's creed, by the way. Creed means religious beliefs in Ontario. It means a little more than that. That's why that term is there to encapsulate a little more. But it does mean religious beliefs. It doesn't mean something different than that. So, you know, it's important to point out that, you know, in the commission's own documents and in their own policies on faithism, what has happened to Josh has been discrimination. The only reason we struggle with all this is because he's not Muslim or because he's not some other religion that we're a little more tolerant of or a little less hostile to. The only reason this is difficult for our normal Canadian brains is because he's a white male Christian. And therefore, he's bad, right? That's what this, now this policy, of course, doesn't really name Christianity much, but that's what it's getting at, is regardless of what your faith is, if we're just talking about you have a faith, you're a faith-holding person, you shouldn't be treated this way, right? And that's the thing we have to remember in this. Josh may be a Christian, but he is a Christian, and maybe that means people really don't like him. But does that mean he has less rights? Well, no. I mean, the letter of the law says he doesn't. So does that mean it's okay to kick him out of school? No, it's not, right? Does the Human Rights Code protect gender identity? Yes, it does. Okay. Does that mean that we kick Christians out of school when they express their beliefs that you can't switch your genders and that there's only two? No. The Human Rights Commission's own policies say no, right? You balance rights. You accommodate everybody. You sort it out, right? If there's an apparent conflict, you determine if that conflict's real. If it is real, then you balance, right? And I mean, these are legal concepts that I can find in case law and I can point to everybody. But the point is that it's not just me making it up from the case law. This is the commission's own approach to this, right? That we don't allow faithism, that we accommodate everybody, even when they disagree, that we don't, when we have a conflict of rights, we don't prioritize. We don't actually elevate gender identity above creed. We don't do that. Now, in practice, that's what we see all the time. But the policies are that we're not supposed to actually do that. So I have a lot of arguments on there that I think are great. Kudos, by the way, to my associate lawyer who helped me. If she ever listens to this, I want her to know that I'm acknowledging that. And I think this is really, really good for people to go in and see that. I mean, obviously, I've talked about Amsalem, the Supreme Court cases on religious freedom. I've talked about the duty to accommodate. All that typical case law is in there. But I think what's really important is that the Ontario Human Rights Commission itself has acknowledged that this type of stuff should not be happening, even if it's socially acceptable. It's not lawful.
James, can I ask kind of a reader response question to that? Here's my reader response question. When I look at the faithism in the code as you've just looked at, I have three thoughts. My first thought is, I can do a lot of things beside somebody who is gender confused without infringing on their rights to be confused. And so I can do things like have a civil discussion. I can have a civil disagreement. I don't have to incite, I don't have to slander them or lie about them. I can have a pretty significant amount of free speech in that world. In fact, I've had personal experience with this in my past, where I think I was probably one of the most gracious people to someone who was confused about his gender. But this kind of language in the code, does it just lead to absurdium? Does it just lead to absurdity? Because, like, are some of our listeners going to say, "Hey, James, you just read that, and guess what? Like, you somewhere systematic protection of women in bathrooms has to trump the beliefs of somebody." Now, again, we're talking about creed, which is we're in this different world where this is likely just a new religious ideology, like just a theory. You know, it's not necessarily about anything concrete in the real world. As far as that, like, it's a metaphysical. You have to reach way back into metaphysical ideas to try to conjure up these things, even more so than reaching into, did Jesus Christ live and die and resurrect from the grave? Like, it's the same type of, this is not backed up by science. This is not a creational, this is not a creational thing that you can accept by evidence. You're promoting these things by faith. So on one hand, I read that and I go, yeah, like, there's a lot of stuff that a Christian kid and a Buddhist kid and a Muslim kid and a secular kid can do in a classroom while not systematically excluding one another. But are we learning? Are we learning that there are limits? And so are our listeners saying, "Man, we're actually appealing to the court. That's leading to absurdity."
Look, this is the inevitable result of protecting a characteristic in the code that doesn't exist in reality. Okay, so everything else in the code is a real thing. Family status, married or not, divorced or not, whatever, one parent, two parent, that's a real thing. Race obviously is real. There's black people, there's white people, there's brown people. Gender, right? There's male and female, right? Creed, people have religious beliefs. I could go on, right? If you look at all the characteristics in the code, right? They all actually exist, except for gender identity. It doesn't exist, right? You have your gender, and that's a protected characteristic, right? Male or female, right? Because again, these codes came back with truth and logic actually meant something, right? You go back to the 60s and 70s, is when the Human Rights Commissions and the codes were born. Okay, so they're relatively new in the legal world, but not in the cultural world. They're very old. I'm not a whole fan of this whole part of our law in general, because I think it creates a lot of problems in our society with too much government, too much interference in people's rights. But let's just put that aside and say, okay, can this actually work? Well, it kind of does work. You can actually accommodate different religious beliefs and the protection for gender and family status. You shouldn't be kicked out of your house because you're black, obviously. You can protect those things and they work, right? But as soon as you protect something, or have a school board trustee tell you that because you're a white male, you're a danger in society, obviously that's discrimination. So you can actually make these things work, right? You added something that doesn't exist, yes, you're gonna end up at the absurdities, right? And that is something right now, because the commission also has a policy on gender identity, right? And if you put those two policies beside each other, the fascism policy and the gender identity policy, and there's immediate conflicts, even before you acknowledge the fact that there are Christians, especially, who don't believe in this stuff, you can easily predict that there's going to be conflicts, right? And here we are, right? And the commission is going to have to face this absurdity, and the world's going to see this absurdity, right? How do you actually accommodate something that doesn't exist, right? So you got this boy who thinks he can be a girl and go into the girl's washroom. That's not actually a thing. And then you have a Christian that says, no, I can't do that. Or maybe you have a girl that says, nope, you can't come in here, right? How do you accommodate the protection for the girl, gender, sex, whatever? How do you accommodate the protection for the Christian creed, and at the same time accommodate the protection for gender identity for the boy who thinks he's a girl? Well, I don't know that you can. And is that surprising? No, because one of the things you're trying to predict is not a real thing, and you're going to get problems. And here we go, right? And now we're seeing how you cannot actually reconcile these things. And I think that's part of this case. And that's part of the struggle, I think, for the Human Rights Tribunal, assuming we can actually get to a hearing. And I hope we do. I hope the tribunal doesn't try to, you know, summarily dismiss this. I hope we get a hearing. That's going to have to be dealt with, right? I mean, let's remember the reason we have this whole thing in the beginning with the boys going into the girls' washrooms. You know why? Because the Catholic School Board says, the Human Rights Commission says we have to. Human Rights Commission says penises have to be allowed in the girls' private spaces, right? That's how we got here, right? That's why the school board says we have to do this to you, because if we don't, we won't follow the Human Rights Commission, and then everybody will be mad at us that we haven't done that. That's how we got here in the beginning, right? Just goes to show the problems.
So I think it's really great that we're engaging with the Human Rights Tribunal, and we're making this application, because we've already seen the need for these things to be dealt with. And so even as we're reading through this and we go, there's got to be, and again, there has been limits. Pluralism has always had limits. It's had limits of law. And now what we're seeing is a change of law, because we're seeing a change in the religion, and we're seeing a change in the beliefs of the plural society. And, or at least a certain number of elites in there, and then all of their cronies who just won't do anything or act in any way. So this is really good, even if it demonstrates that there's some inconsistencies in the law here, and hopefully that this case will help flush those things out. James, I probably talked too much during this episode, and listeners are frustrated with me. So, but I'm also the jerk that has to say, we are at our time's end. So let me give you the final word, and then I'm going to sign off.
The final word is that you do not have the rule of law or equality or freedom without some respect for the truth. All those things go together, and our legal system is trying to tear them all apart. And so we're getting not only absurdities, but we're getting people, human beings, treated. And I always go back to this. I've been doing this for 4 years. I always go back to this. We're getting human beings that are treated like dirt. And we know from history that we don't like that, and we shouldn't like that, because it's evil and it's wrong. And we're doing it all over again, because we just keep trying to break the nature of the world, or break human nature, and deny that you can have equality without freedom, or that you can have the rule of law without truth. You can't have these things without the other. And we need to go back to the solid foundations upon which our once free and fairly equal society was based on, or we're just going to keep sliding into authoritarianism, which means people won't be equal. It means people that the state oppose, that the mob oppose, will end up fired, jailed, poor, killed, experimented on, just like we did in the last century. And that's where Oberon in Canada. We saw it for the last 3 years. And whether it's COVID or whether it's transgenderism, it's all ultimately rooted in the denial of human nature and the nature of the world, and in pursuit of power and control, which will ultimately result in evil, evil done to human beings. Josh is a tough guy, but let's think about this. We've denied this kid an education, okay? That's not acceptable. And if it happened to anybody else, we would not say it was. So let's call evil what it is. Let's call good what it is. Let's get back to finding what good is. And let's try to stop the slide toward authoritarianism.
Okay, everybody, there you have it. James, thanks for all your hard work. Thank you for this document. Folks, make sure you get on our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com, share out this PDF with as many people that you can so that they're informed about it. We don't have a lot of slander going out against Josh. People just understand what he's doing. And James, great work. Folks, I'm going to sign off for another week. Next week, we have a big announcement how we're going to follow up with partnering with Josh, and I hope you'll stay tuned. So, Godspeed.